The Toddcast Podcast. Follow on Instagram and Twitter at Toddcast Podcast.
Hi, pal.
Hey, dude. What's going on?
Just posting a Kawhi Leonard piece on the Where Is He Now? It's like, where's Waldo?
If Waldo had
cornrows and was 6'8".
Boy, that's a buzz out east. You guys are just this basketball fever. It's even reaching out here, man.
Well, there are people. Do they even know what's happening up there, or are you too high?
Not really. We're too baked for sure. Yeah.
Good for you.
So we have podcaster, broadcaster Dean Blundell joining us for this edition. We talked about this when I did your podcast a couple of weeks back. How long have we known each other?
I was doing the math on that. I want to say it was about 15 years.
It's been a while. This is back when you still drank, because you're off the sauce. Yeah. You're now specifically just the herbs.
Do they call them herbs or herbs?
The herbs.
Because herbs is a guy's name. If you smoke herb, we're going to have a way longer podcast.
Yeah, we're going to have a big chat here today.
Yeah, we're going to talk. I mean, I'm all for whatever you do, buddy. I really am. I love you all the way. So yeah. It doesn't matter what you do with your time, but yes, I blow herb, if you will.
Yeah, and of course, Dean, the majority of people are going to know you from radio. Doing the morning show at The Edge 102, Toronto, basically the equivalent of the Fox here in Vancouver. What happened there? I've always wondered how you lost that gig. Were you not killing everybody in the ratings?
Strangely enough, yes, Todd, and thanks for asking and reminding me.
Mm-hmm.
That's terrific.
Feels like we're going to do the exact same thing here.
Yeah, well, I had you on my podcast. And I'm like, what was it like getting fired?
No doubt. Can you walk us through the step-by-step, Todd?
Take me through every emotion that played out in your mind. Well, people were keeping knives away from you after that meeting.
Right.
I mean, it was there for, 14, 15 years, and we were number one forever. It's funny because someone sent me a note the other day, said that The Edge now has like a 1.2 share, men 18 to 54, which I don't think is very good.
No. Doesn't sound good.
And then when I left, we had a 32 share. So, you know what? It's state radio, right? They don't want to pay people. And my situation was a little bit different because my firing was engineered by a few different people, which is fine. Mm-hmm. Because it put me in a position that I'm in today. So, yeah, you know, it sucks though, right? Because, you know, I've talked about it in our podcast where, you know, you put your life into what you're doing and you love what you're doing, and then all of a sudden that life is gone and you got to rebuild around you. So, sure, it sucked, but one of the greatest things that ever happened to me, absolutely.
Oh, totally. And so was it one of those, like, where they're like, you know, be that guy on the radio, Dean, be the edgy guy, and then when you did it, they showed you the door kind of thing, or?
I guess I could kind of summarize it in one of two ways. You know, when you do what I did for a long time, which is, you know, you get ratings and you do counterculture and they ask you to be a certain person and you enjoy that when you're like 28 through 38, you know, and you build an audience and you're number one for as long as you are, which is great. We had a great team and we enjoyed what we did. But it was funny, it was then 2012, 2013, the tide really started to turn where, you know, ratings were important. It was really the perception of what you were doing that killed the radio station. We got into a little bit of trouble too with the CRTC and the CBSC because, that entity is like, you know, if you don't know anything about radio and if you don't know anything about how radio has evolved into this wasteland of just garbage, what it is everybody has a license. That license is dependent on you meeting a certain amount of requirements, not getting in trouble with by saying, you know, fuck or shit or goddammit, or, you know, making fun of things, you know, whether it's, you know, people dying, which you shouldn't make fun of. And for sure, it was a learning experience for me in a couple of different regards to be a better human being when it came to delivering my content. But, you know, when someone complains to the CRTC or the CBSC, there are no rules, basically, in radio unless you get caught. So unless someone complains, which is Canada through and through, isn't it? It's fucking hilarious. Unless someone complains about something you've done, you can continue to do it. But the second someone complains in radio now, you know, people just get fired immediately. So that was kind of the watershed moment of radio, and I was that guy and that catalyst for that. But Very tremendously proud by the job that we did for a very, very long period of time. But it's not the same landscape for sure.
Yeah, dude. I mean, even being a jock out here, I mean, you were making waves. So you get shown the door, then the move over to Sportsnet 590. How tough was it going from rock radio to sports talk radio?
Oh, it sucked ass, dude. Yeah, it was the worst. Well, I guess you got to kind of go back to, like, the reasons why. So because we made a lot of money, and that's what comes with, being number one, and it's what comes with sustained success in radio, no matter where you are, is that they pay you a lot of money. And so when they pay you a lot of money to do a job, and they paid a lot of money because more money every year. You try to leave like I did. I almost went to Rogers with 2 years left on my deal, and they threw another boatload of money at me to stay. This is just before I got fired, actually.
Right.
So what happened was, and it was kind of an interesting dynamic. What happens with us was, I'd done that job for so long, and I'd done radio for such a long period of time for them, and I'd done it the same way I'd done it, which is just caustic humor, going after people, being smart about who we went after. But what really happened was that I was confused towards the end of it, because everything that we were allowed to do was kind of, making its way out. Like, we were getting in trouble for things that no one even complained about to that point. So, it was really hard to navigate, and so you had to dial it down, and you had to dial it back. And so when you start doing that, ratings start falling, and no one really cares about where you are. So when that happens, our ratings are still good, but, the story about how we got fired, our producer was a jury foreman on a trial where one guy effectively continually raped four other dudes and exposed them all to AIDS. And when our jury foreman said, we sentenced him to 5 years in prison, I said, well, it sounds like you've done your civic duty. That's how we looked at prison justice. Some dirtbag that rapes people should be held accountable, and prison justice is what it is. So, it was interesting. No one complained for 3 months. Like, we didn't have a complaint. No one got upset by it. But the guy who did the raping and his lawyer came back and filed a suit saying the jury foreman, who was our employee, was homophobic. So there's the first mention of that word, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So because that word was mentioned, everybody just Twitter, performance, tweet, get on it, let's make fun of these guys and this guy who's homophobic. And really the worst thing that was said in that entire break was, it sounds like you sentenced the guy who raped four other guys to five of the greatest years of his life. And so it was interesting, because what happened was Corus hired a management company called High Road Communications, I believe, or something like that. They hired a crisis management company, and this was told to me by the old president of the company, where he said, "Yeah, we hired this management company. They told us to fire you after Christmas and to paint you as homophobic, so that you couldn't come back and work for another radio station and take all of their audience." And that's the dirty pool of business. That's the dirty pool of radio. That's the same day I went to the Fan, and I fucking hated every second of it. And I was told I get to do this job the way I want to do it. 3 months into it, they say, "You know what? We just want you to do sports." I'm like, "That's not why I came here. I could have had an opportunity to go other places."
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of bore that out for the next, year and a half. And just before Christmas in 2018, I said, "Guys, this ain't working for me. I hate it. So let's figure it out." And they said, "Yeah, we'll do a mutual thing. We'll figure out what to do." And then, one day in February, they just came into me and they said, "You're gone." And I said, "This wasn't how we talked about doing this, because I hate it here." And they said, "Yeah, we have to protect our assets."
Wow.
So same thing there. They want to make you look bad on the way out, so you can't come back and hurt them. And I think at the time, the Fan in the Morning had never had bigger ratings. I know that at the time. So, ratings don't really matter in radio anymore, which sucks. And you know that. What matters to them is Rogers and Bell and Corus protecting their brand, which, unfortunately, I can tell you this, in every one of those companies, there are lots of douchebags and lots of assholes with lots of shitty history that make those decisions. In my case, the guy that actually fired me from the Edge, I watched him sexually assault our producer right in front of me. And he got to fire me at the end for being homophobic at some point. It's interesting, because the irony in this business is that there are, these companies are all good companies. Those radio companies are terrific companies, but they all have shitty people working for them. It's like that in every company, right? And so you just accept it and move on, as opposed to, you know, having to accept the fact that you get fired because a guy that you work with, you know, was on a jury trial, and 3 months after we do this break, you know, the lawyer files a complaint saying we were homophobic, and then, you know, they just decide to fire everybody. But that, you know, and unfortunately, that's the state of radio, right? That's just kind of the state of this business, which is, you know, we don't really give a shit about ratings. We care about revenue, but there's none in radio, or so that's what they think. And then they go, well, we just care about protecting the brand. So radio is effectively rendered useless.
We've seen the writing on the wall, and we've kind of moved away from, you know, not that I would go back to radio, and I'm sure you'd go back to radio too. But now that you've moved into the content creation, your podcasting and stuff, how's that transition been for you?
Incredible. You know, it took me a while because I was a little mentally beat up. I you know, part of that whole thing was a tail slide for me, just mentally, where I wasn't aware of my confidence. I didn't know where I was, you know, because I'm sure you felt like this, or maybe you didn't. Maybe you're smarter and better and more well put together than me. Very good chance that's true. But, yeah, I suffered from PTSD. I didn't know I had that going on for a good year and a half.
Wow.
I had depression, first episode severe depression and anxiety disorder. I was diagnosed with that. Didn't know I had that going on for about a year and a half, even when I was at the Fan. You know, and so you kind of trudge through it. The way I dealt with it was drinking, you know. And so, as we all know, that's not a way to deal with things. Like, you know, as good a medicine as that is, it's just, it stops working when you use it too much. It's not medicine. It's fucking poison. So, you know, I had to get help. I had to go and figure out what was wrong with me. I had to quit drinking. I had to go see a psychiatrist. I had to hunt down the help for my mental wellness. And that put me in a position to be able to do DeanBlundell.com and, you know, bring like-minded people together, people like yourself and your podcast, the Todcast podcast, which is fucking awesome, by the way.
Thank you.
And it showed me, I think, really, that, you know, anybody is capable of anything, and that, you know, where you are in your head, if you can fix it, you know, if you can really look for solutions as to what's wrong and where you're at and how do you fix yourself. And that came with a bunch of fun stuff, too. It came with cannabis therapy, which I'm happy to say we're now in the business of at DeanBlundell.com. So, you know, it's been terrific. I wouldn't have it any other way. Plus, no one has to, you know, radio has that ability. No one has to tell me that I'm a terrible human being, you know, every time I go on the radio. You know what I mean?
And how did you get Matthew Barnaby, Darren Millard? Like, how did they get into your fold?
You know, I don't know. I mean, that's a good question. I think that we just built something and people came. Very Field of Dreams-ish, you know.
Right.
We wanted to, the way we look at DeanBlundell.com, it's like a flea market for people that just fucking love what they do. They love creating content. And so we set up shop there with our friends and our partners like yourself or Darren Millard or Matthew Barnaby. And we're adding a bunch of people in the next week or two. And we've got, I think, some pretty good Vancouver announcements coming out. I don't want to say too much, but Vancouver, I want in you. We want nice. Vancouver. We want to spoon with you. You build it and people ask why and they ask how and are you making money and can you be a part of it and how do we do this and can you help us? And the answer is always yes. You know, yes, we can help. Yes, we can put a podcast together. Yes, I'm happy to show you where the keys to this kingdom are. Yes, I'm happy to learn with you, right? And so we just provided that opportunity for people and you know, it's been beyond my wildest dreams because, you know, we did an investment partnership with Teal Valley Health last week that's going to significantly increase the scope of what we're doing. And you know, we said we were hiring. I think we got like 400 people email us in the last 15 days or 10 days saying, hey, you know, we really want to be a part of this because we know there's no future as long as other people control this industry. So it's been awesome. It's freeing. You know that, right?
Well, of course, dude, this is my fifth year of doing it. Not looking back.
5 years?
5 years, dude. I started in 2014.
Wow. That's unbelievable because when you and I, okay, so you knew me back when I was a drinker. We had a blast. But like, you guys, when we went to Ireland, you, me, our show, some people from Vancouver.
Karen
we go
Kay,
to Ireland. Yeah. Karen Kay. We do a show for Jameson. And we basically, the Canadians, hung out and ruled the week. We had, you know, people from all over the place coming to hang out with us.
So
and it was awesome because, like, you know, you were the institution. You guys were, you know, the Rock, 6 o'clock Rock Report. I knew about you guys in Vancouver. You know, it was great to meet you, great to meet you guys because we're all part of the same company. But, you know, 2014, which is when you left, right? That's when I left. That seems to be the year. That seems to be the year that everything kind of fell in.
I think that it was like, they said 68 people or something like that got the axe the same day as I did. 68! It's crazy.
In the company.
In the company. I mean, it seemed like that. It was like almost like every 4 years you kind of had to give, oh, duck! They're swinging the axe again. You know, I watched so many of my friends and, you know, over that, I mean, I worked at CFOX for, same as you, 15 years. It was one of those, like, just watch your friends get fired. Every 4 years, just a mass exodus. It was crazy.
But sorry, I was laughing. You know, because you're right, it happened again. I think Rogers fired a bunch of people in sports and fired a bunch of people. And it's going to continue, right?
Of course it will.
So,
do a huge change. Radio needs to do an about face and change the way that they're working.
So, how do they do that?
Well,
you
me. There's three simple things for rock radio, for pop radio, for country radio, like for music-driven formats. The simple thing, there's three things. One, give control back to your on-air personality. Two, open up the library, play the big songs from big records, but also play the album cuts from those records. And the third thing is support your local scene in big markets. Instead of playing 15,000 songs from the Tragically Hip that year, play 10,000 and give 5,000 to your local scene. Support that scene. Suddenly, they're talking about your radio station. Their fans are talking about your radio station. And suddenly, you're getting free advertising based on you supporting your artists. It's simple. It's simple.
It is, but you know what? It's funny. I agree with you when it comes to that being part of what we're doing. But I think if you even bigger picture it, I don't even think people give a shit about the music anymore. Like, you know, if you want to be able to capture people, if you want to be able to get your stuff in front of people, it has to do with content. Now, music is content. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah. Like, I agree with you, but I think that the reason people don't care about the music is because they're just not challenged. If they were on a regular basis, holy fuck, did you hear Blundell play whatever it is, Cemetery Gates by Pantera? Holy crap, it was like 7:45 in the morning. What the? That's the reason why people don't give a shit about music, is because radio has lost that ability to be the conduit to getting the new music, to being the reason why you like new artists, new bands.
How do you find new music now?
Like, well, I dig around.
Guy to talk to.
I dig
where,
around.
Where do you dig? Like, what I are dig. Your sources?
Twitter, Facebook, just going to shows and stuff, seeing bands. You know, I put on 16 to 20 shows a year here in Vancouver myself, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I just, you know, and also just from being the indie music director at CFOX for like 8 years, I just knew the scene as I got the boot. Yeah, it was a natural, easy transition for me. So mm-hmm. You know, I'm on top of things that are happening in Vancouver, but for new music worldwide, I don't necessarily focus on that because it's just out of my, it's tertiary.
That's your sphere of influence, right? Like, yeah.
Right. I mean, it's like, yeah. it makes sense, but it doesn't make sense for what I'm doing with the podcast.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you know what? And that's niche. You know, I find that the reason why radio is sort of lost its way, or traditional media has lost its way, is everybody's interested in niche, right? Before, when we didn't have a phone and we didn't have the ability to really zero in on what we wanted to listen to and when we wanted, you know, it was be all and end all. You know, the radio people were stars, and the radio station was the brand. Well, the people are the brand now. The music is the brand, and so you can get that anywhere. Like, you know, I don't even think Drake doesn't even, I hate the guy, but he doesn't have a record deal with anybody. He just does his own shit. And the guy makes more money than everybody. And the reason why he makes more money than everybody is that he understands that he can do it himself, much like us doing this blog. We can do it ourselves. We've got 24 bloggers.
Totally.
We've got five really fucking standout podcasts. And we create niches. There's shit that you like that I don't. Like, listen, I know that you love Pantera. I know you love fucking metal. I know you love Clutch. I know you love that stuff. It's not my bag. You know, I love Tool. You know, I love certain songs, but my bag is content. So I deliver content. You deliver music content. And unfortunately, you know, what happens is in traditional media, they say, this is the format. We've done the studies. This is how long you have to talk for. Don't screw up your words. That doesn't matter anymore.
No.
You know what I mean?
No.
What matters is like, give me a personality and someone who's super fucking passionate about what you do. And so I don't share the same interests you do, but I share the same passion you do for being able to change something. Totally. And that's super important.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. I mean, I personally today love what I'm doing as much as I ever did with any radio job.
Well, who tells you what to do today?
I asked my boss and he was baked on the couch, so.
and it's, you know what, it's funny because someone said to me the other day, a radio person said, because we're negotiating with a bunch of people on a bunch of different stuff, and they said, you just want influence back. Like, you just want, it seems like you just want the ability to move stuff and, like, move ideas and move product and move things. And I'm like, well, what the fuck else is there?
What's wrong with that?
Nothing. I said, what else is there? Like, why else are we doing this? Like, why else are we in the content business? To share our thoughts, to share our minds, to share the fun stuff that we like. You know, and if that moves people, I'm not in it to not move people. I'm not in it to not compel people. That's why the other people do other jobs, because they're happy not compelling anybody. That's my goal. My goal is to make someone feel something. If I can make someone feel something through music, through art, through intellectual property, through discussions, through funny shit, through RVs, you know, making 90-foot jumps, and landing on a ferry. I really don't care what it is. All I care about is that I can entertain and compel people. So,
yeah.
You know, unfortunately, that's lost now. You know, it's just this formula that people go by in traditional media, print, radio, TV, and, well, it's got to change.
Yeah, it's not lost. It's just gone to podcasting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you know what? It's too bad, because there are so many people doing so much good shit. That you can fill, like, we sell our concept. We sell the blog based on a concept on television, right? But we have video, we've got audio, we've got stuff you can read, we've got stuff you can buy. You can go down the rabbit hole on our site for hours.
Yeah,
that's totally the goal. The goal is to keep people by providing a whole bunch of people what they really love to see.
Right. Of course.
Not what some guy came in and told us that this market needs. What do people want to see?
The consultant that lives out in Boston. Thanks, bud. Thanks for coming to Vancouver and let me know what my listeners want.
Yeah.
Dean, let's get outside of radio and podcasting and what you're known for. I'm curious, what was your first concert?
Oh, Jesus. My very first concert was a Christian concert. Well, two of them.
Striper.
One was Tommy James and the Shondells, my dad. And the other, no, Striper. Come on. Kidding me? Petra. It was Petra. It was a Petra concert, and it was at a church, and I'm like, it sucks. But you know what? Some of my greatest concert experiences have been like the ones that no one goes to, you know what I mean? Like getting a chance to go and see Merle Haggard down in Austin, Texas play a small bar.
Right. Those are always the best, for sure.
And those are the greatest. Yeah. Or, you know, the Foo Fighters at Lee's Palace, and getting a chance to sit and talk to Dave Grohl about Nirvana, because if you're going to put one me on a desert island with one album, it's going to be Nirvana's Nevermind or In Utero. Like, that's it's just my go-to. It's what I listen to. It's what I find comfort in. It's, you know, what changed my perspective on music. It changed my perspective on, you know, things that people wanted to see, and it made that world of music very accessible to everybody, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, it brought me in. It was like a doorway into alternative. It was a doorway into, you know, Mudhoney. It was a doorway into, Screaming Trees. It was a doorway into these bands that I'd never, ever heard of before, because I was busy with Belle Biv DeVoe.
You know, I read some, I can't remember which site it was. I was surfing around maybe about a week back, and they'd said that that Nirvana was one of the most overrated bands on the planet. Like, what are you fucking talking about? What are you talking about?
Well, let me, I'll ask you this. There's a pop feel to every Nirvana tune, except for Territorial Pissings. There's no pop feel to that.
No.
But there's something very Beatles-esque about everything they do with the hooks and the choruses. You
totally.
Know, But you know, that's the knock on those guys, is it, if that's it, I mean, you know, screw you. You just made that entire world of real music, like the shit that's sloppy, that sounds good, that comes from, like, you know, teen angst, which is really where we started to kind of learn about that with grunge back in the early 90s, right?
Right.
And so, you know, that was the relatable portion of that stuff for me. And I love it. I still love it because it takes me back to that time.
I love that when you watch Dave Grohl talk about Nirvana and the way that he just, you know, idolized Kurt Cobain. And he credits Kurt with the majority of the way that he writes today. And of course, Foo Fighters is one of the biggest bands on the planet right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, a great conversation with Dave Grohl back when we were talking about, you know, what was it like to be part of a band that changed the world, the perspective, music, you know, and they're not the Beatles, but, you know, there are Beatles, right? Mm. A lot of people's Beatles. And I said, what was it like? And he's like, and he kind of hummed and hawed, and he's like, I don't know if we did it, man. We just kind of did what we did, and it just kind of became what it became. And I thought, hey, of course Dave Grohl is going to say something humble, right?
Of course, yeah.
And then I thought, B, you know, he's in the most relevant rock band today, and with the Foo Fighters, and Dave Grohl can do no wrong musically for his fans. And to see that humility was one thing. And then he kind of went on this explanation about not looking for success, but what he looked for was being able to, you know, do what he loved and wrap it up as a gift and put it out there and give it to people. And if they liked it, they liked it. And if they didn't, they didn't. But that wasn't his concern. And that's how Nirvana did stuff, too. You know, they, from driving around in that shitty little van and, you know, their first drummer, who they got rid of, that dude named Dale. Everybody just calls Dale. You know, to Big Me, to everything. And seeing at least Palace walking around on a bar in front of like 160 people,
awesome,
drinking their beer, high fiving guys, you know. like he just loves to do what he does.
So
and I took something out of that, and I thought to myself, you know what, if that's how we all truly live, we'll all be successful in our own ways, right? We'll all be successful in not chasing validation and not chasing influence. But what we're doing is we are chasing what we love to do, and it will always be good enough, whether you're successful or not. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that's what I took from him. He just happens to be really successful at everything he does.
Yeah, kid's a golden child, for sure.
Yeah, no kidding.
Which TV shows are you binging right now?
Just getting ready to hit Stranger Things 3 with my kid.
Yeah, saw that
like literally
night.
Right now.
Yeah.
Did you watch
I didn't
episodes?
Watch it. I just saw that it was posted, so I haven't taken the plunge yet.
Yeah, you got to do it, but I'm not going to do all 8 episodes because then I'll have nothing to watch.
Right.
You know what I mean? Where you're like, oh my God, I shouldn't have watched all of those. It's interesting, but I started getting into Shameless way late. I know I'm going to do Game of Thrones coming up here real soon. Because,
yeah.
Well, I don't think it is because there's dragons in it.
No,
don't watch shit with dragons.
Shameless. Great show.
Oh, Shameless.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, it's phenomenal.
Yeah.
And I just finished Afterlife, too. If you haven't seen Afterlife, for a guy like me, mentally freeing.
Yeah, really. That's the one where his wife dies, and it's really well done.
It's incredible. What he does is he gives people the ability to laugh, about really shitty things, even if they're really personal things. You know, that you can have a sense of humor and you can find hope in humor, even when you're wanting to die. And so, you know, it's such a great, like, if you've got an offside sense of humor and you have a hard time explaining to people why you should be allowed to think and say some of the things you should be allowed to say and why people shouldn't be offended, absolutely watch Afterlife. And then go watch Humanity.
Yeah, totally.
It's one of the greatest stand-up specials you'll ever see.
Totally. Do you believe that aliens have visited Earth?
No. Not a chance.
Really?
I believe there are aliens. I think we're stupid if we say there aren't, because we can't get past the moon. So, you know, there's something else out there. But no, I don't believe aliens have visited Earth. Do you?
I do. Yeah, I believe that aliens live among us, in fact.
No, you don't.
I seriously do, man.
No, you don't. There's no way. How do you believe that? You got no proof?
Well, I have no proof, but I believe it.
Well, okay. I believe there are unicorns. Do you believe there are unicorns?
Maybe. Possibly.
No, you don't. You don't. You can't be that open-minded, man. This is a problem we are having as a society. We're all open-minded to everybody else's stupid ideas. You believing in aliens or walking among us is a stupid idea. I love you, but there's no way that that's true.
Star Wars or Star Trek?
Star Wars.
Yeah, landslide.
Without question.
Yeah, landslide.
I hate Star Trek. Star Trek's like the... Star Trek is like the Days of Our Lives of Star Wars is what it is. It's ridiculous.
Mm. If you could have one superpower, which power would you want to have?
Invincibility.
Yeah. Dude, great.
You know, like Luke Cage, that kind of invincibility, yeah. Or the ability to fly. But I talk about it with my kids, and we say this all the time, is that being invisible would also be really cool, but very dangerous.
Yeah, like the fly on the wall kind of thing.
Yeah, because you would learn things about yourself you don't necessarily want to learn. Like, oh, I wish I could be. Or you could find yourself in a women's change room you don't want to find yourself in. Like if, you know, if the odd chance someone throws a towel your way and you're invisible. It's like owning a gun. There's too much temptation to use it for poor.
Right, there goes your power, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
This feels like an obvious one, but I'm going to ask it anyway. Being that you just partnered with the biggest and best in Canada, what's your take on legalized marijuana?
Do it, bring it, all of it. Safest thing you can put in your body to make yourself feel a little bit better. A little sketchy when it comes to the details. Don't think people should do it before the age of 24. That's just my opinion. Because your noodle needs some time to develop, and before 24, it ain't going to do that. But I'm a huge proponent of cannabis as a therapy. I have been for some time. As someone that doesn't drink, you know, the release valve that I get from cannabis and using it properly—not just cannabis, right? Like using the right strains, knowing I'm smoking an indica, or I'm doing an edible or a spring that's going to help me sleep as opposed to keep me up or make me feel racy, or knowing I'm going to have a tincture that's got a nice blend to it so I can operate during the day and not get high and still deal with some of the psychopathies and some of the issues that cannabis helps you deal with. The problem is that we have too many people out there banging the cannabis drum that are absolute losers. So, you know, if you can kind of wait. No, but it's true, right? Like in the cannabis world, you got a couple of different forms of people. You got people who use it responsibly medically. You got people who use it like, it's water and they can't function during the day. And then you've got people who use it on a controlled level who, like you or me or anybody else, where, you don't mind doing it on a daily basis in the right situation and making sure that, you know what you're using. Like you, a guy like you, you probably know exactly what you need, exactly what you want, what phenos you need, and exactly how you need to feel. And so you go right back to that source every time. Right. A lot of people aren't in that position. They're not in the position to be able to understand or educate themselves as to what they're using and why they're using it. So, you know, the education portion is huge, but I'm a massive, massive proponent of it, and it's life-changing benefits. It's helped change my life along with therapy and all the other good stuff.
Hear, hear. What's in store for the rest of 2019 then for you?
The rest of 2019, what are we, July?
Yeah, mid-month or mid-year,
Well, the rest of 2019 for me is what's 2019 for you. We have a massive announcement about Vancouver and DeanBlundell.com in Vancouver coming up shortly. We are not done with mergers and acquisitions. We're working on a couple of other things as well when it comes to content and when it comes to people that are like-minded in our industry to be able to acquire content. And I fucking swear to God, dude, I am going on a vacation.
Yeah.
Like I think it goes without saying when you start your own business that, you know, you've never worked harder.
Never.
But when you start to get some traction, you find you work even harder because you don't want to let it slow down.
Right.
So I hope to slow down a little bit this year. And you know, one thing I want to learn this year too, and I would challenge everybody to do this. I'm on a mission to learn about the better parts of what I need to make better in my life. And for me, it's about living in reality and enjoying the moment and finding true happiness, because I worry so much about tomorrow and I'm still pissed off about yesterday that I'm trying to live in the moment. So I really want to live in the moment this year in 2019. I encourage other people to do the same thing too.
Right on.
How about you? What are you doing this year?
More kicking ass, more taking names. Probably take a little bit of a vacation this summer with my family as well. But yeah, man, I agree with everything you're saying. You know, it's tough to get that foothold. And once you've got that foothold, how do you keep it? How do you sustain it? How do you grow it? Mm-hmm. And the only way to do that is to bust your ass.
Mm-hmm. So, and tell the truth. You know, it's the last start, right, in this business, especially in our business. It's just, lies on top of lies until you get what you want. The company gets what they want out of you. But, you know, that's the other thing we'll talk about another time, hopefully, man. Tell the truth. Watch Donald Trump's Blum on a daily basis, or Justin Trudeau on a daily basis, and remind your kids, tell the truth today. It's a good thing to remember in 2019.
I love you, Dean. Honored to be part of that Blundell network, man.
Todd, love you too, pal. I can't thank you enough for being part of it. And you know, the world that you open up to us, and the legitimacy that someone like you in the space that you're in, and what you've created to loan your relationship to us and allow us to work with you has been fucking terrific. So super thankful, and I can't wait to go back to Dublin.
Let's do it. Let's do a podcast network.
I appreciate your time, pal. Thank you so much.
You bet. All things at deanblundell.com.
Subscribe on iTunes at Toddcast Podcast.